The scripture reading today is from the book of Psalms, chapter 116. Hear the word of the Lord. I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving aid. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you have ever been sick in bed, I hope there was someone there to care for you when you called out. In the throes of a fever, in the oblivion of disease, to have a loved one come to your side, to bend over you, touch your feverish forehead with a loving hand, maybe apply a cool cloth, or kiss your forehead with tender lips, to see loving eyes gaze into yours. The psalmist is giving thanks because in the midst of distress, it was God who came. As one who leans over you with love at the lowest point in your life, God bends near. It was the cool of the breath of God blowing into the fevers of life that the psalmist celebrates. God comes, Holy Spirit cares, Jesus the Christ fully present. In the household where I grew up, people got sick and would tend to one another. My mother set the model of compassion that we all sought to emulate. When someone in our family was on the mend, they would usually get nasty, snarky, a little rude. I don't know if that's ever happened in your family. And the family members would say, "Good, they've turned the corner. They're going to live. They are on the road to healing now." In Psalm 116, the psalmist celebrates that he has been delivered from death and in essence writes a thank you note and lifts up the cup of salvation and vows to be faithful in the front of all the people and declares, "I love the Lord." Death, life, love, the cup of salvation, vows, they are the content of this sermon this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God Almighty, the poetry of the Psalms meets us right where we are. The reality of you present with us day by day, loving us and calming our souls. Open us this morning to your living word, that we might be made well through Christ. Amen. The psalmist is giving all thanks and praise to God because death was all around him like a trap ready to spring and crush and kill its victim. The place of death, Sheol, Hades, seemed to be the destination. Distress, anguish. The prayer of Jonah found in that book echoes in this psalm. For Jonah is in the jaws of death, literally in this big fish, a death caused by disobedience, denial, and the depths of the sea. From chapter 2, we hear his prayer. I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. The waters closed in over me, the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. The psalmist in that would invite us to say, I love the Lord. There are very few places in Scripture where this kind of first-person declaration can be found. We are commanded and directed to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our mind and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is a unique voice in Scripture. I think that is why I love this psalm so very much. We find this voice in another place in Scripture, in John chapter 21. Peter is being redeemed from the darkness and the abyss of denial and death, his inability to walk with Jesus all the way to the cross. Peter, says Jesus, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Gracious is the Lord, righteous, full of mercy and forgiveness. And the sweet gift of life returns. Tears are no longer falling, the jolt of stumbling past. Moving carefully through this text, some might consider this psalm to be a psalm for the consumer. I love you, O God, because you give to me. If you don't give, then my love is over. Devotion predicated on God's continued favor. Yep, if this goes bad for us, God, well, we'll withdraw our support. God fails me, God flunks, I'm out of here. I love you because you give to me. A way to think about this and find new meaning for me is thinking about marriage. People marry for many reasons. Do we marry to get something or to give? To be in a covenant relationship or not? My Facebook feed this past month has been full of friends celebrating their June wedding anniversaries. People have had time to go digging for those old photographs and then scan them and post them. It's been so much fun to celebrate with these friends of whom we have known for decades. We know the trials and tribulations of their marriages and also the triumphs of their lives. We marry not because of what we expect to get out of it, but because of what we will be able to give. A marriage based solely on self-interest is close to hitting the rocks. The relationship, the covenant relationship, can be good and holy in itself. During my 2 years in your midst, quite a few couples have allowed me to enter quietly into the covenant of their marriage. It is like opening a sacred door and stepping into the hallowed ground, the room of a life built together across the decades. There are so many shared memories reflected in pictures and awards on the wall and precious stories shared. Once upon a time, there was a wedding, a ceremony where promises were made. In plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, until death do we part, as long as we both shall live. There have been moments of joy and plenty, of health, and now there is sickness and sorrow, and even death. So many spouses waiting hand and foot at hospital beds and beds at home to care for the treasured spouse, to keep the vows made, and to keep giving and giving, coming close to touch the brow, saying, I love you, bending close, honoring the other in this relationship. Such a sacred vow kept until the very end. And then afterwards, as memories are treasured and the person is honored, what holy ground you allow your pastors to walk with you. Loving the other because it is honorable and true. Loving God for God's own sake, always. I do not believe that the intent of this psalm is to state that I love you because you love me or because you give to me. I love the Lord. He has heard my voice and my pleas. God is gracious and merciful, protecting the simple. God has bent down and put his ear right close to me, and I can call on him as long as I live. And verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. God is with us in death and through death to eternal life. The confession of sin in our liturgy each Sunday and that assurance of pardon is us always confessing the power of sin and death to trap us. And claiming Jesus' saving power and resurrection power to free us. Oh God, repair our broken relationships in our family, our community, and world. Sin and death be gone. In Scripture, there is a cup of wrath and a cup of salvation. Last week, I held up the cup of salvation in the midst of Holy Communion. This cup of salvation was one of the four cups shared at the Passover meal when Jesus and his disciples gathered in that upper room and celebrated the deliverance of the people of Israel from bondage in Egypt. Jesus would leave that Last Supper and go with his disciples out to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke 22, Jesus says to his disciples, pray that you may not come to the time of trial. He withdraws a stone's throw away from them, and he kneels down and he prays, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. This is the request that the cup of wrath and judgment be removed. A cup of death and despair, of prejudice and self-centeredness, of murderous thoughts and actions. This is the cup full of every evil that humankind has ever thought and uttered and acted upon. And this cup was poured out on Jesus. Remove this cup from me, if it be your will, Jesus prays. God willed him to take up this cup of wrath and judgment. And Jesus took it all. He paid it all. He lived it all. And he died in it. So that you and I might say, I love you, Lord. And rise up from all the pestilence and panic and prejudice of our day and lift up the cup of salvation. And call on the name of the Lord to vow that the Lord is our first love. You and I do raise up cups to offer a toast at a wedding or an anniversary celebration or another event to give witness to a kind of victory. I will confess that thanks to Disney Plus, I finally got to see the musical Hamilton on July 3rd. So the music is once again rattling around in my head. The story of tonight, four committed to freedom in the revolution in the colonies. They'll tell the story of tonight. Let's have another round tonight. Raise a glass to freedom, something they can never take away. No matter what they tell you, raise a glass to the four of us. Tomorrow there'll be more of us telling the story of tonight. We face death. We will succumb. Until then, how will we learn to fall in love with God more and more and offer thanksgiving? What rituals do we need so that there will be more of us telling the story of salvation? Psalm 116 gives us some great clues. What shall I return to the Lord for his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. What does it mean to pay my vows to the Lord? From the Old Testament, we could dig into Leviticus chapter 1, starting at verse 1, and begin to understand the rituals associated with offerings once required of the people of God. There would be lots of time spent preparing these gifts, from planting and raising and harvesting crops, the best of the crops chosen from the field to be offered to God, or to the flawless lamb raised carefully among the others and then chosen from the herd, and then packaging and carrying and ultimately offering after ritual cleansing our gifts to God in the temple in Jerusalem, following all the rules, a lot of work and energy, time spent before the congregation. But Jesus becomes this final offering, this type of offering, the perfect lamb sacrificed for our sins, his blood poured out for us. And this table that was once an altar becomes a table of Holy Communion, where we remember the sacrifice of the Son and we bask in the gift of the cup of salvation. And we push back from this table, vowing to serve Christ in our daily lives, and our lives become an offering. And our first commitment every day is, I love you, Lord. When we wake, our first breath, as our eyes open, I love you, Lord. You are the love of my life, my reason for being, my purpose, my everything. And then we pour out our lives, his life, for others. This is the call for all who follow the Christ. On March 8th, we were all worshiping together in this sanctuary. The Girl Scouts of our congregation were welcoming us at every door because they were thinking about the Girl Scout law, their faith, their promises, their vows. And by the next week, March 15th, we closed the campus here and took everything online. We made a massive shift together to be a virtual church. The care office put out a call for volunteers to assist in our COVID-19 response, to be on hand, to help if the needs of others arose. 57 people responded and said, yes, we will help. Yes, we will pour out our lives for others. Yes, we will keep our vows to Christ. And of course, our 40 ordained and installed deacons, active deacons from the past, our now 22 Stephen ministers were already mobilized with our elders on session. And we began our campaigns together for outreach, calling, writing, checking in. How are you doing? How can we help you during this time? And the stories of love and care and compassion and Holy Spirit inspiration could fill a book, my friends, at this time. We won't write it. We'll honor people's privacy. But we could write a book. And then we put out a call for an Easter offering. And this congregation responded. And you heard already this morning of the 152 people who gave food and money last week to fill a truck for our partners at the Central Union Mission. I am in awe of your love of the Lord and your love for one another and this world. This is an offering of thanksgiving and sacrifice. This is paying our vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord. Courts that are now a metaphor for all the sacred places in this world where people honor God and honor one another. Ecstatic gratitude, lifelong public devotion. That's what I see here. Life lived in love, where God hears our voice and stands with us and for us. Our lives on earth will end. I observe that death is loathsome. It can defy the dignity of the individual. It hurts. It is super unsettling. It's unbelievable in many ways. It happens in one breath to another. Death is so final. And until our own death, and none of us gets out of here alive, you and I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The psalmist has kept the faith, even while being greatly afflicted. And seeing the reality of so much death and so many liars around him, he is able to love the Lord. Death is all around us. Liars are around us as well. So we join the psalmist in declaring, I love the Lord. And I lift up the cup and I say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God of our salvation, keep filling our cups as we traverse these challenging days. For we are so thirsty for you. We want to drink from the cup of your salvation offered to us. For you are gracious and good. Capture our hearts, our imaginations, and may we be so full of love that each day we will begin it with the words, I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And favor. his compassion, he fulfills his word. Yes, he fulfills his word. I'm on the Lord, he has heard my voice. Gracious, righteous is the Lord. I'm on the Lord, he has heard my voice. Gracious, righteous is the Lord. Gracious, righteous is the Lord. Is the Lord. What shall I give to God for all his grace? Righteous is the Lord. I love the Lord, he has heard my voice. Gracious, righteous is the Lord. Gracious, righteous is the Lord. Thank you.